From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 14th day of August, 2014. It's Agronomy Day here on the Urbana-Champaign campus. Actually, that's all wrapped up. It was a great morning. If you've never been, it's always the third Thursday of the month. Come out and see us for Agronomy Day next year. This year, we added a brand new little stage show. The Prairie Dogs play. They're a bluegrass band. During the noon hour for our meal out on the South Farms. Fantastic. Thanks to the Prairie Dogs. I posted a little bit of them up on my Commodity Week Twitter feed. That's at Commodity Week. Check it out if you want. Otherwise, just stay with us for this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report. We'll talk with Zwicker and Bennett and, of course, Mike Tenora.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Let's take a look at the numbers as they finished up in Chicago for this Thursday afternoon. Nearby September soft red winter wheat at 5.37 1/4 was up 9 1/4 cents. December at 5.52 3/4 up 7 1/4 for the soft red. Hard red up 4 cents at $6.08, something we haven't seen for a while. Everything was a bit higher in the corn and the bean pits with the exception of the expiring August contract for soybeans. September corn $3.62 up 4. December 3.73 1/2 up 3 3/4 in the March at 3.86 3/4 up 3 3/4. May futures there $3.95 1/4, 3 3/4 higher, and July at 4.01 1/2 up 3 1/4. December corn 4.14 3/4 up 4 1/2 cents. August futures off the board today at $12.24 1/2. They reached all the way up to $13 even and down to $12.35. Finished 40 cents lower in the expiring August at $12.24 1/2. September futures 10.98 1/4 up 18 3/4. Now the lead option November at 10.56 up 9 1/4 in January. 10.64 3/4, 9 1/4 higher. The March at 10.72 3/4 up 8 3/4. And the July of next year at 10.85 1/2, 8 3/4 higher. November beans 2015, a dime higher at $10.61. Bean meal up 45 1/2 cents, or rather $45.50, and bean oil down 35 cents for the day. Live cattle futures in the August contract at 150 even, up $1.77 1/2. October at 147.35, 80 cents higher. August feeders at 215.12 1/2, up 75 cents. And lean hogs in the August down 37 1/2. At $114.82 1/2. This is Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures for the day. September contract $95.55, down $2.03 for the day on a barrel. September futures at $2.67 1/10, and the RBOB or wholesale price of gasoline 8 3/10 cents lower. At ethanol futures unchanged, $2.17 1/10 cents. Natural gas at $3.89 1/2, up 6 4/10. And diesel fuel for the day, $2.82 1/10 cents. That's 8 cents lower on the afternoon. Gold futures at $314.20 an ounce, up $1.20 in the U.S. dollar. On the delayed quote, down 0.06 cents, down 0.006, that is, at 81.59. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area on this Thursday afternoon. Sunny skies and a high of 81 degrees, a north wind at about 9 miles an hour. Tonight, partly cloudy, a low of 54. Northeast winds at about 6 miles an hour. They'll turn to the east after midnight. Then tomorrow, mostly sunny and 79 degrees with a 3 to 5 mile an hour wind out of the south. Friday night, mostly cloudy, a low of 63. The winds continue to round the dial. They'll be out of the south-southeast by then at 3 to 6. And then Saturday, a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms. Mostly cloudy with a high of 81. Winds back out of the south at 7 to 10 miles an hour. 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms on Saturday night. Mostly cloudy and 67. And that 50% chance will continue into the day on Sunday with mostly cloudy skies into 81. Again on Sunday night with 66 degrees on Monday and 81. And finally, the rainfall out of the forecast Monday night, mostly cloudy and 65 degrees. A more complete look at the weather forecast comes up at the bottom of the half hour. Dave Dickey will talk with Mike Tenora at T-Storm Weather in Chicago, Illinois. Of course, you're listening to Illinois Public Media. You can find us online at willag.org. That's WILLAG.org. It is a Thursday afternoon. This is the Closing Market Report. Let's check in on this 14th day of August with Dan Zwicker. He's at CGB Grain in Mandeville, Louisiana. Hey, Dan, I want to ask you a question up front. Did CGB in your division change the name? Is it CGB Grain now, or is it still CGB Enterprises? or are they just in the process?
Well, CGB Enterprises is a corporate entity, and then Consolidated Grain and Barge is individual companies, too. So it's one of those lawyer nightmares. But no, we are CGB Enterprises, but I think everybody's wanting to kind of change their division to Grain Division, Marine Division. It's just more of a structural deal than anything.
That's why the Facebook page I follow you on for, follow the CGB Enterprises Facebook page, and it notified me that it was changing to CGB Grain for some reason.
Well, I think that's where we, when we first started it, it was CGB Enterprises, but what we want to do is, it is primarily a grain page, so we want to keep it as a grain page, so then the other divisions can go ahead and have their own pages, you know, like the Marine Division, The Transportation Division, and whatnot. So that's what we're doing.
All right. So people can check that out on Facebook if they happen to use Facebook. And if they are Twitter followers, they can see you there, too, and follow you on Twitter. Either place, I think, they can see your updates in part, mostly on the Facebook page for your daily updates and what you're up to each and every day. And you give commentary at a couple of times a week at least, don't you?
I do it every day, Every day at noon. I do a midday.
Excellent. Okay, so let's talk about some of the commentary that we should take up this afternoon. Hey, this is the first time I've seen red or green across the board for a while. That's a nice sign from Chicago.
It's encouraging that we're leveling out. I think, you know, basically we've been trying to level out ever since the first part of August. So if you kind of look at the charts, the bean chart started turning kind of sideways back in mid-July, and then the corn chart started turning sideways there around the first part of August. And now with today's advances, it is solidifying that we have shifted, at least temporarily, the corn trend to something in the sideways order. We did, December corn futures did break above its downtrending channel line. It did trigger a technical parabolic buy here today. So the key now will be how much follow through we can get in this market tomorrow. But if we hold today, this week's advance, we're on the verge of closing out the week with a weekly reversal to the upside. And if we could add a couple more cents to today's advance, we would have an outside up reversal in the corn market. So while that doesn't mean we're going to rally sharply, but it does tee up the technical side of the equation for the mega shorts to start covering. And I, you know, it's basically the August crop report has come and gone. The production number came in way well under what the trade was thinking and actually expects as we go down the road. But it is what it is today, and until it changes, they have to live with that official estimate. So I think it does set up the stages for at least some kind of recovery of some kind in the corn market. Soybeans was a market that, you know, the trade was right on the average, or, I mean, USDA gave the trade what it wanted, so it basically ran out of bearish news also. And exports still remain very stout. A lot of these old crop soybeans are going to have to be rolled into the new crop, so there's going to be strong soybean export program down here at the Gulf this fall. And harvest looks like it's going to be a couple weeks behind. We really haven't seen much out of Arkansas and northern Mississippi, and they're usually going full blast now or actually earlier than this. So everything's running a little later. And so I think it does spell well that maybe the market's going to follow kind of an average seasonal pattern, that we do have a little price strength going into Labor Day weekend. And then once the combines start rolling, we'll begin to hear all kinds of yield reports And whether or not the trade will start looking for USDA to raise the production number or leave it the same. So we still have a lot of discussion going on as far as what the production is. USDA did go way low, surprised everybody. You know, right away the bear will tell you that, you know, 9 out of 10 years in big crop years, USDA understates the August crop report. So therefore everybody does look for some higher numbers as we go into September. But we still have acreage changes coming at us in October. I think the farm service agencies are going to release, I think, acreage numbers that were signed up Friday, if I'm not mistaken, and that'll give us a clue to see how close maybe USDA actually is on their acres.
Yep, that'll happen tomorrow. We'll try to make sure that everybody knows about those numbers. It may not come out until after the trade. I suspect that will be the case.
Yeah, if the corn number would come in based upon historical patterns and that, if the corn number would come in under 87, that would tell you that USDA's June 1 estimate's too high on corn acres. Because, see, when they did that survey, they said that 2 million acres were yet to be planted. And we don't know if those 2 million acres went to prevent plant or got planted or turned into silage. Don't know.
All right. Well, we'll keep an eye on that one, and we can talk about it tomorrow. And then again next week, some interesting things out of the soybeans for the day. August went off the board. But what I'm seeing, and I think this is just part and parcel of the electronic trade and the way the settlement prices happens, is it's settled outside of the range.
the bonds and a lot of your financials have been doing that for years, and it doesn't make any sense. I guess that's the way it is. It really screws up charting programs, I can tell you that. But no, your financials have been doing that for years, and I think what it is after the market closes, their trade can't happen for a few minutes or a few seconds.
Right.
And if the last tick is outside that range, that's where it ends.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. So in this case, it was a long ways, relatively speaking, outside the range. What, it was 10.5 cents lower than the bottom trade of the day. So bottom trade was down at $12.35, and settlement price was $12.24.5. The whole thing finished 40 cents lower for the August. I guess that's an indicator that, you know, the spread between the August and the September, which is from $12.24.5 now to $10.98.25, needs to go lower as opposed to maybe higher. But you might have a better view of that than I.
Well, like I said, you know, short term here, I think the price action is constructive for some advances in here and some recovery rallies. And I guess that's kind of where I'm at in the marketplace between now and when the combines start rolling or until we get a September crop report, and that's probably not until like the 10th. We still have a couple, 3 weeks of weather yet, whether or not the rains peter out or if they're better than expected. And we still have to kind of get well into August before we would do probably any kind of shortness of the crop. If we did have a September frost of some kind, that could shorten up the crop. And so there's still some things yet out there to play around with. Argentina's in chaos. It sounds like it won't be too much longer, and the Ukraine and Russia will be in chaos. Export picture could change, you know, quite a bit over the next couple of months.
All right. Hey, thanks so much for joining us today.
Very well.
That's Dan Zwicker. He's with CGB Enterprises out of Mandeville, Louisiana. Joined us here on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report. Remember, you can always hear him again if you'd like. On our website, the address there is willag.org. That's willag.org. A couple of items. Thanks to all those folks who came out to Agronomy Day today. It was a fantastic day. Don't forget, Agronomy Day comes up every year right here on this campus. And you can look forward to another Agronomy Day. I'll be emceeing the event for the Agronomy Day on the Acre Site or Purdue's Farm in Lafayette, Indiana. That's September the 5th, so mark that one. I'll tell you more about that a bit later in the program. Tonight, We have one of our first Will Ag panels for the summer season and into the fall. Actually, it is the very first one. That'll be down in Shelbyville. Matt Bennett, Jackie Vakes, and Sherman Newland will be along. The Shelbyville State Bank and MHIS Insurance are sponsors of that one. Starts at 6:30, the Lions Club. It's kind of hard to find, but I bet you'll be able to do that down in Shelbyville tonight. And then the meal is at 6:30 and the program at 7 o'clock. It's open, so come on down if you get the opportunity. Now here's Dave Dickey. He has today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, driven to action by California's historic drought, California lawmakers yesterday voted to place a $7.5 billion water plan before voters in November. The measure marks the largest investment in decades in the state's water infrastructure and is designed to build reservoirs, clean up contaminated groundwater, and promote water-saving technologies. A state with a population that exceeds 38 million people and an agricultural industry that feeds the nation has been struggling to meet the increasing demands for water after three dry winters. The director of China's National Grain and Oil Information Center says China's state-owned corn reserves have reached burdensome levels, especially when faced with the prospect of another good corn harvest this fall. The Chinese government would like to clear out its supplies from the 2011 and 2012 reserve programs as soon as possible. Government auctions have become the main source for cash corn in China, and prices keep rising. Corn sold for $8.84 per bushel in the first sale date on May 22nd. It sold for $9.28 at the end of July. Rejecting imported U.S. corn supported the price. Since October of last year, China has rejected more than 1.25 million metric tons of U.S. corn, as well as shipments of DDGs and soybeans that contain traces of the trait MIR-162. According to recent futures prices, imported U.S. corn would cost $6.68 per bushel at port in China, 42% less than the market price in Shandong. Eurostat today says that the shaky economic recovery in the 18-country Eurozone ground to a halt in the second quarter, as the continent's central pillars, Germany and France, were held back by weaker investment by business and by fears over the crisis in Ukraine. The German economy, the biggest among the countries that use the euro, shrank by a quarterly rate of 0.2%, while number two France showed zero growth for the second straight quarter. Walmart stores today reported a 0.6% profit increase in its fiscal second quarter. The Bentonville, Arkansas-based company reported net income of $4.09 billion, or $1.26 a share, compared with $4.07 billion, or $1.24 per share in the same quarter a year ago. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Well, hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey, of course, is the Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. Find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. Let's check the cash grain market now with Matt Bennett. He's located in the elevator in Windsor, Illinois at TGM. Good afternoon to you, Matt. How are you today?
I'm good, Todd. How are you?
Oh, well, you know, I was busy this morning on campus with Agronomy Day, and I have to tell you, I was up and on my feet and outside and talking for the last four and a half, five hours this morning, directing traffic out into the research plots, and I laid down and took about a 15-minute nap before the show, so I'm feeling good and ready to come down to Shelbyville tonight and host a program with you and Jackie Vakes and Sherman Newland. I think that one's sponsored, if I'm right, by the Shelbyville State Bank, right?
And Shelby MHIS. County State Bank and Maxwell Hyde Insurance Company.
Yeah, MHIS, absolutely. Glad to be down there this evening and looking forward to that. We'll talk more about the local area down there and what's happening this evening. It starts at 6:30, that's the meal, and then 7 o'clock for the show. Open to everybody. So the Lions Club's kind of hard to find, but you can look it up. It's on, if you put 401 East North 9th Street. That's pretty close, but it's up on the top of the ridge, just to the west of the dam.
That's right.
Yeah, so not too bad, not too hard to find. So hopefully people will come down and see us there. That's tonight. Tell me about what's been happening at the elevator, and maybe how'd you do at the state fair with the show, by the way, first?
Yeah, it went pretty good, actually. Boys had a good time, didn't win anything major, but had a good week, and, you know, they always enjoy going, that's for sure. But as far as the elevator goes, you know, there's a lot of corn coming out yet. There's still a decent amount of corn in the elevator, but we've got a little bit more time than maybe what we thought we might have, you know, in that early June time frame. I don't think guys will probably get started until closer to the end of September unless we get a lot of heat coming in here sometime soon.
Yeah, I asked Emerson about that this morning because we went into dough stage and everything went in, despite the growing degree days being behind. The crop stage was ahead and we went in dough early, but dents coming late, so that tells me we're staying in the dough stage a little longer and it's slowing down. That probably is better for the corn, thanks Emerson, than worse.
Yeah.
So it could keep filling out, baby.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, this has been a great year for building, you know, a pretty good size year. Obviously, we've all seen and heard stories, and this is a great year for retaining that air. You know, most people in our neck of the woods especially have gotten enough moisture. They really haven't seen a whole lot of stress to the plant. So the cool nights as well as not too hot of temperatures during the day, and really you've got a great recipe for, you know, keeping a good size here on these plants.
Yeah, and it sort of depends on where you are. So we're talking about in our part of the world, in the in Illinois, and Indiana, and some of Missouri and parts of Iowa. But if you get further north, even in Illinois and into northern Iowa, Minnesota, things were a little different. Too much rainfall to begin with, not enough in June, and then in July, not quite enough. And, well, that managed to pair things back just a bit in USDA's reports on Tuesday afternoon or morning, didn't it?
Yeah, it did pair things back. I think, you know, whenever we get a little farther along and we get into the September numbers where the corn is farther along in its production and they can use actual ear weights, I think you're going to see most likely yield will creep up a little bit in some of these places. I've got Illinois being a fair amount too low, actually. And I think that, you know, the yield's probably got some room to grow, but I think it was a good thing for the corn market to get this little bit of a boost and a little bit of a shot in the arm, because things were looking pretty, you know, not so good going into the report.
Mm-hmm. Some leveling out and maybe a little boost as we make our way through the month of August. Yet, what are your bids for the day?
Yeah, the bids, 358 for cash corn, 339 for fall, 1203 for cash beans, 1026 for fall.
All right. Hey, thanks so much, Matt.
Hey, thank you.
Mm-hmm. We'll see you tonight. Matt Bennett, of course, is with TGM. He is at the at the elevator there in Windsor, Illinois. It belongs to TGM. And I'll be down with him tonight in Shelbyville at the Lions Club. Check that out on our website at willag.org.
It's National Creamsicle Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1848, Congress created the Oregon Territory, an area encompassing present-day Oregon, Idaho, Washington, and parts of western Montana and Wyoming. The territory's rich agricultural resources were a magnet for a diverse group of immigrants and settlers. In 1873, the first issue of Forest and Stream was published. The oversized 16-by-11-inch publication featured many articles early on by George Sears that made popular canoeing and environmentalism. The magazine merged with Field and Stream in 1930. In 1941, Paul Sabatier died, an organic chemist. His work led to the development of the margarine, oil, hydrogenation, and synthetic methanol industries. And in 2003, the largest power blackout in U.S. history swept across Ohio, Michigan, and Canada, and then spread to Connecticut, New Jersey, and New York, leaving 50 million people without electricity for 24 hours and longer. Billions of dollars were lost in revenue. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Housing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org. Dave Dickey will be back in a moment. He has an update of the weather forecast with Mike Tenora.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey. Joining us now for a look at agricultural weather is Mike Tenora of T-Storm Weather out of Chicago, Illinois. Good afternoon, Mike.
Good afternoon, Dave.
There have been these places in the Corn Belt where for the last few weeks, and I'm thinking parts of Iowa, I'm thinking a part of Minnesota, that have just whiffed on rain potentials. Are they going to continue to whiff in the storms coming up?
Well, that's a great question, and that really is the main thing that we're thinking about here at T-Storm Weather. If you look at that area of dryness, which actually extends not only from eastern Iowa into parts of Minnesota, it also extends into parts of northern Illinois, southwest Wisconsin, and into the Dakotas. We have a proprietary application here that we can use to estimate exactly how much of the corn and soybean belt is too dry. And we're seeing some pretty high numbers if you look at rainfall over the last 30 days. For corn, we're showing that 35% of U.S. corn production received less than one half of its average rainfall over the last 30 days, and that was as of yesterday morning. For soybeans, it's not too different, with about 31% having been similarly dry. That's a pretty large chunk of corn and soybeans, and that's why we really would like to see it rain there sooner than later. Now, on the plus side, we do have several rain chances over the next 10 days. We're seeing a warmer pattern develop, and that really begins on Friday and Saturday and then extends on through the middle part of the month and even into the later parts of the month. And just because of that warm-up alone, we should see some decent areas of rainfall as waves of energy ride the jet stream right on through the Corn Belt. The big question is, where will the rain occur? And we have a lot of trouble figuring that out right now because of an interesting situation in which computer models really are having a difficult time handling the exact setup. This is not an uncommon scenario, but it is a bit unusual to see all computer models mishandle thunderstorm clusters, thereby ruining the rainfall output as you move far into the future. And because of that, we do have some uncertainty with the rainfall forecast. Our best estimate is that over the next 5 days or so, we'll see decent rainfall across the southwest half of the U.S. corn and soybean belt. That does include central and southern Illinois, but as you extend onto the north into those dry areas, the rain chances diminish. We can't say there will not be rain there. We think there will be a little bit, but we think the best chances for the next 5 days are to the south. As we move into later next week, the rain chances are a bit higher to the north, and those will likely need to verify to prevent that issue from becoming more notable.
And what about temperatures?
Temperatures do turn quite a bit warmer. We've been fairly cool over the last 3 or 4 days, but we should see maximums in the 80s and even into the 90s for most of the next 7 to 10 days, beginning, let's say, tomorrow and more so Saturday. We're now looking for a heat wave, and we're only looking for temperatures a little bit above normal, but that is a big change from where we've been lately because it has been very cool for the last 4 to 6 weeks.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you. Have a great one.
Mike Tenora of T-Storm Weather out of Chicago, Illinois, and that is today's Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey.